Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm not sure for Joe, sometimes it's a pleasure to serve with me on the board because I can be a tad bit opinionated at times. But with that said, I just want to kind of follow up with what a comment that Milt made as he ended his talk. And we're going to talk about two different approaches to how we use EPD and how we actually apply those in a commercial setting. And Milt went through a lot of molecular information, and it really boils down that these two approaches or two technologies, the molecular and the EPD, and how we use those are not mutually exclusive. In fact, this talk is designed for the commercial producer, and in many instances, you as commercial producers, if you use EPDs for selection, are already actually using genomic data because the EPDs include genomic data that seed stock breeders have collected, and the breed associations, through a whole host of different funded projects, have put those molecular breeding values and that genomic information into the EPD, so the EPD you're using are actually more accurate than were possible prior to the use of DNA technology. So the technologies are not exclusive, okay? And from a commercial standpoint, it's really about the EPD, how accurate is it, and how do we use that? And as I've just pointed out, in many cases, we already use the molecular information, okay? So the perspective that I want to use in this talk is one of profitability. We're really in the beef industry, or most of us in this room are in the beef industry because we want to maintain profitability, and we want to do that over the long term. I realize there are a whole host of reasons that we might be involved, from hobby to lifestyle to recreational purposes to, you know, in some cases maybe tax issues. But this talk is focused primarily from the standpoint of trying to improve our profitability. And as Milt pointed out, we work together. Actually, our offices are right next to each other in the Department of Animal Sciences, and we're both in the breeding and genetics program. Being breeding and genetics people, my interest is how do we use genetics to make improvement that's going to improve our profitability, or genetic improvement that's going to lead to better profitability. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about today in how we use EPDs. But again, our motivation for this talk, and I take a very capitalistic perspective from one of profitability. And as Milt's already pointed out, most of our genetic progress in the commercial industry is driven by the seed stock bulls we buy from our seed stock suppliers. That's what drives our genetic change, because the bulls produce so many progeny in our commercial operations. So when I go to a bull sale, and there's a whole host of different catalog formats out there, and some breeders provide us a lot of data, and some breeders don't provide quite as much. And in some cases, that amount of information can actually be very overwhelming to make a good selection decision. How do we use all of that to actually make a good selection decision? And here I've just listed a whole host of traits that you might see in a bull sale catalog. And you're supposed to wade through this information to actually make a good selection decision, bring that bull home, and you're buying him because of the genes he passes on and the influence he has on the progeny the next year, okay, with the goal of improving profitability. Okay? But the constant is, if we took a survey in this group of breeders and cattle producers, in no instance is there one trait that determines profitability, because profitability is a function of what do you get for your cattle and what costs, how much do you spend to have to raise those, okay? So in all cases, there is more than one trait that's going to determine how quickly or how much money we're going to make in the business. And with that as the perspective, really, when we go to make a bull selection decision or a bull purchase decision or choose our replacements, we really want to improve multiple traits at a time. We want to make multiple trait selection decisions that improve those traits simultaneously. Okay? With the background that we have to remember, the more traits we select on, the slower our rate of progress in any one trait. Okay? That's an issue. If we try to select on all the information that's out there, our progress in one trait is going to be a lot slower than if we really focus our selection pressure. Okay. So the question is, how do we do this most efficiently? And I'm going to talk about two different approaches to how we use EPD to do this. Okay. And those are the economically relevant trait perspective, and then eventually, how do we apply selection index? How do we apply those appropriately, select the appropriate index for our specific operation? Okay. So if we look at our typical, when I say genetic evaluation, I mean our EPDs, you know, they're pretty well proven, right? We've done a number of studies in a variety of universities that, and through some of the breed association databases, that EPD work, okay? And they've been pretty well accepted and well used. But our perspective from a historical standpoint, excuse me, has been that we can always create more EPDs that hopefully will help us better characterize individuals in our population. So again, we're back to that data growth perspective. We're going to get more and more information on these animals because I'm going to be able to use that to actually make a more profitable selection decision. But there's a catch to that. And as Milt also talked about earlier, I'm also in the Center for Genetic Evaluation, and we work with a number of different breed associations worldwide. And as you start to delve into production in Brazil and New Zealand and different environments, they have different traits of interest. But over time, we've had requests for EPDs for all these traits at one time or another. Okay, can you imagine a sale catalog where every bull had this many EPDs? Okay, I'd throw up my hands. Let's go look at them and pick the best one, right? Well, that's probably not your best approach, but the question is, how do we actually get beyond this? Okay, and really, we can do that from the concept of economically relevant traits. And if you look through that list, there are actually two classes of traits. The first one is the economically relevant traits. And again, I'm looking at this from the commercial producer standpoint because if that trait, I look at that trait and think about my operation, and it is directly related to either a cost of production or a revenue stream, income coming back to me, okay, then I can call that relevant. And we'll go through this and define it a little bit more here in a second. The other side of the coin in that whole list of traits are the indicator traits. Okay, and those are traits that are genetically related to the economically relevant traits. There's a reason we measure them, and we might want to use that information to calculate EPD for economically relevant traits, okay, because they add accuracy. They tell us more about the animal, which was kind of the assumption when we measure more things. But the question is, how are we going to use all that information? Okay, and I'll give you an example. Again, I'm looking at the commercial perspective. If you look at ultrasound data, ultrasound is a great tool to help us to select animals that have superior genetics for ribeye area, fat deposition, whatever the case may be. Very good information, okay? But if you're a commercial producer and you're going to buy a bull because it has good ultrasound data, really where you reap the profit is in his progeny. And it's not percent IMF, it's what is the percent the great choice, right? So they're a little bit different. The economically relevant trait to you is not necessarily ribeye area or percent IMF, but it's a trait that we actually measure in the harvest progeny. And the relationship between ultrasound data and harvest progeny isn't perfect, but it's very strong. Okay, so there's usefulness to that information. But ultrasound data is an indicator of how a bull's progeny should perform on the rail. Okay, so let's think about this a little bit more. As you think about all of the list of traits and all of the information that you might look at in a sale catalog, the question ultimately is, does selecting on a trait directly influence your income? Okay, so in this room, we have a wide variety of different economically relevant traits because not all of our production systems, not all of our marketing systems are the same. Okay, but that's the question we need to ask when we use this approach. And so if you think about it, birth weight versus calving ease, and the way I try to simplify this down and make it very, very applicable is that if you change birth weight in the calves that are born to your first calf heifers by 1 pound, okay, does that always influence whether you assist a heifer at birth or not assist a heifer at birth? So if we go from, think of it this way, if we go from 70-pound birth weight to a 71-pound birth weight, does that change the number of heifers that you have to assist? Okay, it might, but it's not a consistent relationship. Okay, but if you select a bull where you know you are going, the calving ease EPD indicates that for every 100 heifers, you assist 10 less, okay, that comes back in dollars because we have better cow survival, we have shorter postpartum interval in the cows. Calving ease is economically relevant. And when you really look at the technical aspect of it, when we calculate calving ease EPD, we use birth weight information. So we've actually already accounted for the birth weight differences. Okay? But calving difficulty is not just a function of birth weight. I mean, we've all calved out heifers, and we'll have two calves that are 75 pounds. I had to assist one heifer and not assist another heifer. Okay? You know, maybe the differences are due to head size or shape of the calf. Birth weight doesn't explain all that. Okay, but the Cavanese EPD will tell us that. Okay, another way to look at this, and hopefully this will illustrate the variety of economically relevant traits we likely have in this room. But if you think about it, what is the additional value for a pound of carcass weight? Well, the obvious answer is that kind of depends. I sell all my calves at weaning. I never get carcass data. Okay, I never sell an animal on a carcass weight basis as a commercial producer. It's all at weaning. Okay, so for you, if you're selling weaned calves, that's the economically relevant trait, and that's where your focus should be relative to making selection decisions. However, if I'm retaining ownership and selling on a harvest basis, carcass weight is economically relevant, and weaning weight has much less weight or much less emphasis. So what does that get us? It gets us from this to this, a more narrow list of traits that we may apply selection pressure on, remembering that if we can narrow that list down to the ones that really affect our profitability, we're going to make faster progress in those traits. Okay? So the recommendation is focus selection pressure on the economically relevant traits. If you've got calving ease and birth weight EPD, calving ease is your economically relevant trait because it encompasses differences beyond just birth weight differences. And using that concept will help you narrow your selection focus. Now, obviously, a lot of you are ahead of me already because you realize, well, not all traits are of equal value, right? Sometimes traits carry a lot more economic importance in my operation than other traits. I don't have calving problems in my heifers, so the value of improving calving ease is zero, right? I don't assist heifers, so why should I put more selection pressure on calving ease EPD? Let's just hold it constant. Okay, that's because in my operation, my economically relevant traits are different than maybe some of you. Okay, so what I want to look at is the relative emphasis we would put on those economically relevant traits and how we might apply some of the selection index technologies to the various operations or to the various operations present. And what is an index? Okay, that's the first question. And most of you probably know this. What we see for index is a dollar value. And many breed associations have multiple indexes to choose from. We're going to go through some examples. Some breed associations I know have indexes in the works that will be released in a relatively short time period. So you'll have to choose amongst those index values what's most appropriate for your operation. But in short, okay, if we take that list of economically relevant traits that are relevant to our operation and we weight those by their effect on our profit, okay? This is what's happening behind the scenes when you see that dollar value, okay? You weight them by their effect on your profitability, we come up with a dollar value, okay? And that dollar value ranks bulls or females based on their influence on profitability in that production scenario, okay? So we just got the Vs represent the value of each of those EPDs. That's probably the simplest way to look at it, okay? Obviously, the traits have to be economically relevant. They're not related to profitability, either cost or income. The V is zero. Well, zero times anything, just drop it out, right? That's why we go back to the economically relevant trait perspective. Okay, and you interpret these just like you do EPD, okay? Because it's the difference between two animals' index value that counts. So we could have one bull that has a plus 40. Pick whatever index you want. I wasn't specific. But let's say we have one bull that has a plus 40 dollar index value and another bull that has a plus 10, the difference is $30. So on average, you'd expect a $30 difference in profitability if the father of the progeny was bull A versus bull B. Just like EPDs, it's always the difference, and we work on averages. Okay? Obviously, we're going to have some variability in there, just like when we look at a plus zero EPD birth weight bull versus a plus two, on average, there's 2 pounds different. But if you look at individual calves, just the nature of genetics, we get some variability. Okay, but over large groups, this has been proven to hold pretty well. But the question is, how does the commercial producer actually use these index values, realizing that in many situations there are more than one index value? And there's a good process for doing that, okay? But before we go into that, I want to make a few comments about indexes. All of the indexes that are currently available through various breed associations are what we call generalized indexes. Okay, and they use industry average values for the economics of production, cost and income, cost of feed, Okay, they all have their own projections. In some cases, we use historical data, and in some cases, there's a forecast going on. Because think about it, a lot of these are applied in the seed stock industry, and that trickles down to the commercial industry. So really, reaping genetic progress, we're looking at it out in the future. So we're actually forecasting costs and revenue value of individuals and our income in the future to develop these economic weights. What's going to happen in the future? Now, the good thing is you say, well, shoot, I can go to different investment advisors, and each one of them will have a different strategy on how I should invest money. That is true. The good thing about indexes, okay, is those economic weights are relatively robust. There's been a considerable amount of research looking at, all right, what if we missed the cost of the price of weaned calves by 30%, okay, and we're looking 10 years in the future? Well, if you plug that in, it turns out those economic values are relatively robust, so it really doesn't change the ranking of the bulls if you miss economic values by a reasonable margin, okay? So they still work, even though our economic predictions aren't perfect. They're relatively robust to changes in economic values. The other thing is if you look at some of the established studies that are published, and there's been two primary ones. One was Mike McNeil's retired scientist out of the USDA facility over here in Miles City, the Fort Keogh Research Center, where they looked at long-term selection on an index, and the index did what it should. Okay? I'm not going to present all of that in the interest of time, but there's another study that I actually worked on, so you're seeing my bias. We're going to present what I did. Okay. It was a study we looked at in New Zealand on a large farming operation. And in New Zealand, farming is ranching. Sorry, reverting to that terminology. A large ranching operation where they had large seed stock Angus herd that they applied an index to, and this was back before we actually had EPDs. Okay, so they actually used just phenotypic information, did all of our adjustments, and made selection on that. So now our selection is a lot more accurate because we have EPDs. But even under just phenotypic selection, that index improved their profitability about $25 a head. And you can see pretty clearly where they started to implement the index. And on this right graph, I know you might be able to see it in the back, but the steep line going up is actually slaughter weight of their cattle. They harvested all their cattle. And once they started, that's where they reaped all their income, or all their income came from. So obviously that had a large influence on that index value. And then also they had the costs of maintaining their cow herd. Well, that's the lower line on that, the solid line, and it stayed relatively flat. So we really actually, the index actually kind of bent the growth curve, right? They got heavier harvest weights while holding the mature cow size relatively constant. And in the process, they improved profitability about $25 a head. So selection indexes work. And this was, I believe, about 17 years of data we looked at retrospectively, looked at what had happened by using that index. Hey, so how do you as commercial producers actually use this technology? Okay, there are some steps to actually find the greatest agreement between the indexes that are available and your operation, and what to do if there isn't agreement, okay, at least from the standpoint of traits included. Okay? The first thing is just like the economically relevant traits, right, is to identify your production and marketing system. Are you selling weaned calves? Is that your primary source of income? And cull cows, you got the salvage value of the cow, obviously. Are you retaining ownership through the feedlot and selling on a live weight basis? Or maybe you're retaining ownership through harvest. Okay? It's important to know what your plan is for the future and how you market animals. And don't get me wrong, when there's immediate economic opportunities, you can always deviate from that plan. Okay, but long term, what is your vision for your operation? How are you going to market animals? And where are they at from a performance level? That's key to helping you identify the appropriate index and to taking steps if the index doesn't accompany or encompass all of the traits that you're interested in. So then go to your breed of choice and look at the indexes that are available. Okay, but a key to evaluating indexes is to know exactly what traits are included in that, so you can make up any weakness in that generalized index. And you'll see on the bottom of this, One of the italicized question is, what are the relative economic values used to weight the traits? Okay, that's probably not as relevant in the current industry and our current index technology, but as we develop decision support systems that actually allow you to tailor indexes to your specific breeding program, that will become important, and those efforts are underway. So I put that in italics. But for today, we're going to focus on what traits are included in the index. And with Dr. Wade Schaefer of the American Simmental Association's approval, or agreement, maybe that's a better word, I'm going to kind of pick on their two indexes, okay? Or at least it's not a good word. I'm going to use them as an example of how you might apply index technology. And they've got two indexes. One of them is the all-purpose index that's designed for the commercial producer who is retaining ownership, keeping replacements back out of sires they purchase, okay? And all of the excess calves go to the feedlot, we're retaining ownership, and we're selling them on a weight, yield, and quality grade basis, okay? That's their all-purpose index. On the other side, they have another index, okay, that's a terminal index. And immediately, as you think about economically relevant traits in different production systems, you say, well, wait a minute. If I'm going to harvest all the cattle or all the calves that are sired by these bulls, why do I care about some of these female traits? So in their terminal index, those are dropped out. The value of change in those is zero because we're not keeping replacements back. Okay, and that's your two options, right? And they use that information from the EPDs to weight these traits along with their average economic forecast, which you can read about on their website, and they come up with the economic values and then produce the index value for API or TI, okay? The traits are different. They have different application. The key is to find which of those indexes have the most agreement to your production and marketing system. But the question that I often get is, what happens if I need to improve a trait that's not in the index? Okay, so the recommendation is then you need to focus on that trait independently of the index. Okay, so just like selecting on calving ease and weaning weight, we got to use two pieces of information, right? We're using two pieces of information to make a good judicious selection decision. And an example of this for the Simmental is, what if I'm having problems getting my heifers bred? Okay, I can always feed those yearlings better to hopefully get my conception up, or I could make some genetic progress in that trait as well. And some of our research would show it's about 20% heritable, okay? So about like milk production in beef cattle. So there's opportunity for improvement. Well, in that case, you really need to focus some selection on a heifer pregnancy EPD or another tool associated with heifer pregnancy to try to improve that while improving these other traits in the index. Calving ease is another one. I know they the Simmental Index, they actually use calf survival as a proxy for calving ease, or calving ease contributes to calf survival. But the key is, if the index doesn't have all the traits that are important in your system, meaning economically relevant, you need to apply selection pressure independently to that trait as well as using the index. You know, another example, American Angus Association have a wide variety of indexes to choose from. One index, and granted it's I'm picking on the simplest index, is the cow energy index that encompasses just mature cow size and milk production. Well, really, in all of our production systems, you'd need to weight other traits that are also influencing our profitability. And you could say, well, let's just go to the weaning index, which already encompasses the dollar energy value, which it does, but there may be some other traits that aren't included in the weaning index where you got to really look at the EPDs from the Angus Association to help you make a good selection decision. Okay? So the key is to find the index with the most agreement to your production system. If a trait's missing, also focus selection pressure on that trait as well. Okay? And the last step is really kind of a difficult step, especially in the absence of good economic data, but look retrospectively. You know, the group I worked with in New Zealand wanted to look to see how index selection had worked, and they tracked that over time and quantified that and showed that they had made an improvement in profitability. Okay, now, I think before we're able to do this on a producer-by-producer basis over the long term, we're actually going to have good decision support systems that actually let you develop your own index for your operation, given your cow herd performance. Okay, so some Not sure how I'm doing on time, but some quick conclusions. Two options. They're not exclusive. You have to go through the first one. We really need to focus on what makes a difference to our own profitability and our own operation. Okay? You could start there. If you want to start to adopt indexes, then pick the one that has the most congruence between the traits in the index and the traits that are economically relevant in your operation. Joe?